Dermot. BBC Radio London. You're listening to BBC Radio London. This is Clara Hermit here for Joe Good this Wednesday evening. And it is the time of evening that we go about chewing the fat. And I would like to tell you about my guests that are going to be joining me with some great topics, questions for us to discuss on the show this Wednesday evening. I'm going to be joined by Erica Storm. She's a yoga teacher, women's empowerment coach, writer and speaker. And Erica's new TV programme is out on Monday the 10th of April. That's Easter Monday next week at 10 p.m. on Five Star. It's part of the Adults Only series and her episode is called An Orgasm a Day. There you go. That sounds pretty good to me. And then we're going to be joined by Stephanie Brooks. She is a restaurant reviewer. Again, sounds great to me. Writer and presenter. She's previously written a monthly column for Essence magazine exploring London's restaurant scene, and as well as writing for The Mail Online and Evening Standard. Stephanie has just wrapped filming on a new TV series about London's restaurants, which features Jonathan Fang and Tom Parker Bowles. And they both join me now. Good evening.
Good evening.
It's lovely to have you both here. Big smiles as well. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a good chat, I think.
Absolutely.
I think it'll be fantastic. Right. It's nice to have a girls' chat as well. I love it's an all-girl panel. I think that's fantastic.
That's right. That is right. Even though Mel's there, he's pressing the button, ladies. So we've got to watch out for him. He's got all the power. So we're going to get into some topics. I know that you've both got a couple of things that we're going to be discussing. I've got a couple of things to throw into the mix as well. Some strange food combinations, which I'm sure you're both going to have opinions on. But Erica, should we kick things off with your first thing for chewing the fat for this Wednesday evening? What have you got for us?
Ooh, honey. So much. It's such an exciting time. It's spring. I absolutely love spring. It's a new beginning. As you rightfully said, my episode is out. Super excited for everyone to see that. It features my amazing Power of the Retreat. Which is an amazing space where I help women to really reconnect with their bodies, release any shame, any insecurities that they may have about their bodies. We had such a beautiful selection of different types of women with different experiences. We had women who unfortunately had a traumatic birth experience, and they wanted to just come there and just kind of regain their power again. You know, we tend to have women who are survivors of sexual abuse or survivors of cancer, and they just really want a safe space where they can connect with other women, because there's something really beautiful about when other women come together and they share, right?
Yeah.
I think that women's circles are really, really important to talk about things like the menopause, hormones, womb conditions like fibroids, PCOS, and do it in a safe, gentle environment. And just celebrate being a woman, because being a woman is absolutely amazing.
Indeed.
So, yes, I'm super excited for everyone to witness the magic that happens at the retreat. I'm also just living my best life. I fly out to Dominican Republic in a few weeks to teach my central yoga out there for 7 weeks in the middle of the jungle. It's going to be absolutely epic. Just really enjoying creating, writing, and just really kind of going through this natural evolution of myself, you know? I've just turned 39. I feel like I'm entering into a new chapter. I'm excited about all the writing that I'm doing and currently working on my book as well.
That's incredible. Incredible stuff. So thank you for that. And what is it that we're going to discuss tonight then? What have you brought to the table for us?
Well, I have a couple of things. The main thing that I'm really advocating at the moment is women's health. You know, I just feel like there isn't much support around women's health and women going into perimenopause or menopause. For women like myself who has fibroids, PCOS, PMDD, I just found that there was really nowhere for me to go, right? I remember speaking to my GP and then speaking to a therapist, and I was saying to them about my hormonal imbalance, and the only advice they had for me was, it's incurable. The only thing we can offer you is antidepressants and the contraception pill. Contraception pill I can't take because, you know, research shows that it can feed your fibroids. Plus, I have fertility issues, so that's never going to be an option for me. And I just felt really deflated and really alone. And that's part of why I do the work that I do. And yoga was a place that I went to really help me to figure out what was going on in my mind. You know, because sometimes you can feel like you're going absolutely crazy. I'd wake up some days and just want to cry for no apparent reason. Mm. And so having my mat and being able to just flow and use my breath was just a life-saving tool for me to have. So then I qualified as a yoga teacher, and I continued to spread that love and give other women the option that actually, you know, we can regulate our hormones by healthy lifestyle choices. And I was speaking to Stephanie briefly as well about food. Food is medicine,
For sure. I think it's it can be really difficult, I think, when it comes to diet, because there's so much conflicting information about what's healthy, what's not healthy, what's good for you, what does balance your diet, your hormones, etc. And also your hormones change so much as you get older, don't they? And or as you go through life. So then what you might need at one age, you might not need at another age. And there's all of those kind of things to consider. And I don't think that, you know, necessarily Western medicine takes any of those things into consideration. I'm 39 also, and I think the kind of, for me, this topic of menopause, I guess, is something that I suppose, like, my parents' generation, my grandparents' generation was never really discussed, and it's only really now that we're starting to see people have these conversations.
Absolutely, and
Stephanie, I'd just like to bring you in here. You know, for you, when it comes to kind of women's health, have there been any personal experiences that you've had, or, you know, anything that you've kind of read about recently? Because there's lots on this at the moment, isn't there?
Oh, totally. And it's something I'm really interested in, because I'm 42 and I've been, I may as well just say what's happened, because it sort of ties in.
Yeah.
I recently had a miscarriage, and it's something thank you so much. I'm trying to be more open, because I think with women, we often hide things that we go through. And actually, I think if we're a bit more open, we can help each other. And I've been looking into my progesterone levels, because I think mine are quite low. And again, these are things that I'm just not spoken about. I mean, I remember even at things like school, things about women's health and, you know, things we should expect as we get older. Mm-hmm. None of these is spoken about at all. I mean, I'm in my 40s and only learning now. There are certain levels that my body has to have in terms of, for example, carrying a baby through to term, and things that women don't know, you know, women who are smart, educated. I mean, I'm going to the doctor speaking about my health and my hormone levels, and I'm having to take a pad and a pen and write down all the different things that I need to do. Mm. You know, things that, you know, yoga apparently is fantastic for relaxation for the body, which is, you know, in term good for pregnancy. So all of these things that sort of Erica's mentioned here, and also the perimenopause, because that's something that's on my mind, particularly for women who are trying to have a baby a little bit later in life. Obviously, that's something that, you know, we're all aware of as well. And that's another thing I was terrified about, not being able to get pregnant, maybe because I'm entering that stage. Mm-hmm. So it's all these very conflicting things and confusing times. So I'm glad that so much more has been written about and not shied away from.
Yeah. And
you're not alone, Steph. So I'm so sorry. I was just going to say, you're not alone, Stephanie. I've coached so many women who don't even know their vulva, right? Or even myself, being 39 and still learning about my period and my cycle, you know, having the full stages and understanding where I'm at in my cycle, because it impacts my everyday life, going to work, you know, having to think about contracts. So what I've done now is that I've planned how I run my business around my cycle.
What a good idea. I've never heard of that. That's such a good idea, to sort of honour your own body, your own cycles, rather than force yourself into situations where you're not happy with.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
Even there's lots more now, isn't there, into to kind of tracking your cycle, because you do have, like, I know that there's the two days before my period that I will be extremely emotional, and for years and years and years, every month I would forget, which sounds really silly, but every month I'd have those 2 days, and I'd be like, why does the world feel like it's going to end and my life is falling apart and it's the worst thing ever? And so now I'm really cautious about, you know, using, making sure that I know exactly when those days are, because luckily for me, you know, my cycle is kind of like clockwork, so it's like, okay, I know what's happening. And then, you know, sometimes I find myself getting a little bit into that state, and then I'm like, oh no, it's okay, I know what it is, it's that time of the month, it's fine. And again, like you're saying, Erica, I will then, you know, adapt whether I, how much exercise I do or what work I choose to do that day. And you know, I do have that kind of, luckily I have that flexibility. And I think it's really underestimated, all of this stuff, you know. And I have to say, Stephanie, thank you so much for being open and sharing about your experience of a miscarriage.
Of course.
Because I think for a lot of people, it feels very, you know, they go through that and they feel very isolating, or like there's something wrong with me, or why me, or this has only happened to me. And I guess, I don't know if either of you have found this, but as I've, you know, reached this age, I've got, you know, friends who are younger than me, friends who are older than me, but that have kind of gone through the IVF route for various different reasons. And I've learned so much from them about, you know, you're talking about the different levels and of hormones and et cetera, from their experience as well. So there's so much that isn't spoken about. And the thing is that we're owners of these bodies that we have, you know, these female bodies, and there's so much that we don't know about them. And also, just because I've gone on a bit of a rant now, but also things like the kind of, even the scientific study of the clitoris, like there's still so little knowledge of,
there you go, honey.
I've got you, you started now. But our knowledge, you know, there's the knowledge is so lacking, it's unbelievable. And I had, my mum and sister both died of breast cancer, and I've had a preventative.
So sorry.
That's okay.
So sorry.
But I've had a preventative double mastectomy because I carry the BRCA1 gene mutation. And the you know, the kind of next thing is for me to have a hysterectomy. But I'm 39, I haven't had children, so I'm kind of, you know, trying to push that out. But there's all of these, you know, these different things that get thrown at you in life as a woman because of your body. And sometimes you don't understand or you don't know anything about it until you're in it. And I think that's why these conversations are important. Because I honestly, when it comes to menopause, I've only just started to hear things now. And I'm thinking, why are we only just hearing this now? Surely we should be.
I only heard the word perimenopause like 6 months ago. And it was because on TikTok, I saw a video of the actress Naomi Watts, who's really bringing perimenopause to the fore. And I mean, that's awful that it's from a celebrity, but I just hadn't really, I've heard obviously menopause, but the perimenopause I haven't really heard about. So again, and it's one of those things where you have to research everything, because it's so hard to go to your doctor to find out anything. You have to be your own champion. You have to research.
Absolutely.
You have to have your own education about everything.
And Erica,
absolutely, and
because you were talking about was it polycystic ovaries or fibroids? Fibroids is that what you were saying that you had? And I know there's so many people I can't even say the word now, fibroids.
Fibroids.
And isn't it? Please correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it particularly prolific with black women? Is there a higher percentage? Yeah,
there's a higher percentage. Yeah. Coming from the psychology background, I honestly believe that we hold trauma in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And I feel that for women, we hold that in our womb or vulva area. So for me, how I started to really go through my transformation was to look at my body with love. Because when you're in pain, you know, I used to be in pain for 3 weeks out of 4 weeks.
Wow. Yeah.
Every month I used to end up in A&E when I was on my period. And then I decided to stop hating my period and start inviting it and welcoming it and connecting with my womb and speaking to her and asking her, what does she need from me? And this is how I started going on my own personal journey of releasing any trauma, releasing any stress, then being mindful of the foods that I ate, being gentle with my body. And, you know, yoga, I know I've said this before, but yoga not to sound so dramatic, but I really feel like it saved my life because I had nowhere else to go. And I found just by doing my own practice, I was able to relax. You don't realize how much stress you're holding. You know, if I said to you, relax your shoulders away from your ears. Do you feel the difference?
Yeah.
It's like you didn't even realize you were holding all that stress in your shoulders, right? So just being able to reconnect with your body and to use your breath and to just breathe and be calm within and just allow your emotions to flow. Like you said, my darling, sometimes 2 days before you're really emotional and we're not taught to release that. You know, we're taught to pin that up inside of us. And then we have this horrible stigma like, oh, she's just on her period. Oh, she's been overdramatic. She's on her period. So we then grow up with that stigma instead of really understanding our cycle. What is our cycle trying to tell us that month? What do we need to understand? Maybe you do need to just be gentle. Maybe you do need to rest more. I remember before I used to feel so guilty with wanting to sleep. Now I understand that part of my cycle, I need to sleep. Yeah, we have to rest.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it, really, when you think about it, that we think that we can all fit ourselves into this same, you know, this same box and this same rhythm, which is not going to work for all of us because we are so, so different. And I think it's, you know, this is one of those topics that, as Erica said, the reason for kind of bringing it is there is this lack of kind of information, this lack of knowledge, this lack of understanding when it comes to women's health issues. But I do think, you know, just having conversations like this, little bits of information start to spread and trickle. People start to Google things, people start to do their own research and start to hear other people's stories. And that can be really, really powerful. So, Erica, thank you for bringing that one. Stephanie, what's your first topic to add into the discussion for this Wednesday evening?
Well, one of my topics, I'll probably bring it in now because it kind of leads on a little bit from what I was saying. Basically, my topic is about how you deal with those around you who are kind of offering sort of well-meaning but rather unhelpful advice. And I found this basically since, obviously, I miscarried, I had a wonderful, overwhelming amount of love and support, which I'm totally grateful for and so appreciative of everyone who reached out, and none of it was lost on me. But I had two particular people in my circle who were almost adamant about certain things that I should be doing, certain things that I should be doing to almost sort of get on with it and not wallow, and that sort of almost an aggressive kind of advice. And it's fascinating to me where giving advice comes from, because I'm always one of those sorts of people that if a friend's going through a hard time, I'm quite a good listener. I like to listen, take it all in. And usually my sort of offering will be, if you need me, I'm here. I'll text. Whatever you need from me, I'm here. But I'm finding that the people who are giving the most advice are the ones that sort of looking at their lives are the ones with the most problems. Sort of the people who are really chill and just listening, it means more because I know that it's all coming from a good place. But the people who have given me a lot of advice, they're the ones in my life who have the most problems, who are always having issues with people, who are always fighting. I want some sort of advice on how you deal with people like that, because I'm starting to wonder whether, because I don't give advice, maybe I'm sitting on the fence a bit. I don't want to maybe upset someone or overstep the mark. But I'm fascinated where giving advice comes from. Why, obviously, if you're seeking advice, that's a different thing. I'm always seeking advice from certain people. But those people who you haven't asked for advice from, who are constantly saying, well, this is how you should do this, and I think you should start doing this, and maybe if you did this, and maybe if you had celery juice, and maybe, and it's a strange thing that we do as humans. How do you deal with people giving rather unhelpful advice?
I think
I did ask for your advice.
There you go. Asking for advice of how to deal with advice. Asking for good advice on how to deal with bad advice.
Good advice, yes.
See what we did there? I do think that, you know, Mel and I were talking a little bit about this before the show. And one of the things that we were saying is, you know, this idea that actually listening is such a skill, isn't it? And Erica, you're a coach, so I'm sure that, you know, you can kind of back us up on this one, that to be able to just listen without feeling the need to kind of jump in and say something and is a real skill. But when it comes to people who really feel the need to say something, I think that it is because maybe their life feels so out of control and they're deflecting from their own life and looking at yours. Mm. Maybe it's advice that they need to take themselves as opposed to you taking it. And yeah, I just think it's a way of not feeling so bad or not having to look at your own stuff. Just look at someone else's instead and focus on that.
Because it's easy to focus on someone else. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's okay, Stephanie. I was just going to say that communication isn't a skill that we're taught in school. Mm. And active listening means to listen to understand. Mm-hmm. And many people listen to react.
Yeah. Yeah, just waiting for their chance.
Yes, yes. So listening is definitely a skill, but where do we learn that? Mm. I learned that because I'm trained, but do we learn this in school? Did anyone teach anyone how to effectively communicate? And this is where we see so many issues in relationships and all different dynamic relationships. It's because the person isn't actively listening. Mm.
But you
it is on it's when you sort of want someone just to be open to you and almost I wanted to talk to them without them saying, well, if you do this or maybe do this or maybe if you ate that or you do this for 10 minutes a day. And I just wanted to express how I felt. I didn't want advice. And it's horrible because you don't want to say to someone who's taking their time to listen to what's going on. I just want you to listen. And I think that's what I wanted to say to them, but I shouldn't.
I think that's
okay. I mean, Stephanie, next time you can just say, for example, we say, Sarah, I just want to speak to you now and I just need you to just listen to me. Mm. I think telling the person what you want at the beginning of the conversation is a great way to indicate what you want. Because like I said, we're not taught how to communicate effectively. And we may have to teach our friends and family how to listen to us. Mm. And how to communicate with us and how to respect our boundaries. So Sarah, thank you very much, but I just want you to just listen. Is that okay? You find that most of the time they will be accepting
I was going to say, what happens if they don't do that then? What happens if you tell them that, you put the boundary in place and they still go with, if you just did this or if you should try this, you should do that. Why don't you give this a go? Then what do you do?
Then you say, thank you for your advice. As I said before, I wasn't seeking any and I no longer want to have this conversation.
Yeah.
You have to be comfortable with installing your boundaries. Yeah. I get it all the time, you know, with my fibroids, my fertility issues. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? With all respect, I'm connecting with my body and I know what's best for my body. Right now, I just need you to be a great friend and just listen.
Yeah.
I understand that you may have advice to give me, but I'm really not in the space to receive that from you. Mm-hmm. I just want you to listen. So that's me clearly stating my boundary, clearly stating what I need from that friend.
I love the fact that as you're saying that, Erica, both me and Stephanie are nodding our heads away. We're like those little nodding dogs that you get. We're just going, yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
I was thinking of boundaries. Yeah, that's the word that I should have thought myself. I should have said, I just need to vent. I've never gone through anything like this. I pray I never go through this again. And I just need to say my feelings. It's like a very close family member. He always tries to fix things. Yes. He always says, okay, how can I fix this? I'm like, no, you can't fix anything. It's something I'm going to have to go through. Oh, no, I'm going to have to try and sort this. Can't sort anything.
People feel uncomfortable as well with silence. So they feel like they have to say something comforting, right? Mm. I mean, when I had my ectopic pregnancy, my goodness. I understand what you're saying about people always wanting to give their advice. And it comes from a place of them not knowing what to do. They just want to comfort you, you know? But it's really important that we, especially as women, learn how to enforce our boundaries. You know, I use the word enforce because we can say something, but then many of us don't enforce it. And it's like, it's really important that we do that.
Yeah. And I think I'm just learning that now and have just started to do that in my life. And it gives you so much. It really does give you so much more kind of freedom once you've done it. There's that kind of anxiety around what's going to happen. Are they still going to like me? Are they never going to speak to me again? And then when you've done it, because you've kind of stood up for yourself and you've put that boundary in place, it really does. It feels really, really great. And I think it's important to do that. And it's also funny because I was chatting to Mel about this before the show, this particular topic. He did say to me, you know, the thing is with men is they always try and fix things. You know, they feel so, and this is, you know, I'm stereotyping. Obviously, it's not going to be all men, but certainly in my experience, I found a lot with men that rather than listen, it's like, no, I need to do something now. Or if you're in an emotional space, for example, rather than just being with you in that emotional space where there is nothing that costs, could possibly be fixed or changed, they need to try and fix and change it with action rather than just sitting with you and staying with you. And I'm sure there are women that do that as well, but you know, it's exactly, I guess, like Erica was saying, actually, no, some things cannot be fixed. I just need you to be here, and I just need you to listen, or you know, just give me a hug or whatever it is, but yeah, you don't need to do anything.
But that's why therapy is great. You know, therapists, coaches, these people are trained to listen. So I would, you know, advise anyone that's listening right now, if they feel like they don't have anyone that just will just listen to them, do go and seek professional advice. There's no shame around seeking a therapist. I know for me, myself, coming from my culture, we come from a culture where therapy isn't the norm, you know. And I just want to advocate that it's okay to ask for help. Mm. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It's absolutely fine to say, I need help here, and go and seek that help, because your mental health and your mental well-being has to be your priority in your life always. Mm.
Thank you for that. Fantastic advice, and you make such a great point. You really, really do. Thank you, Erica, for that. Right, we're going to play a little track, and then we're going to come back and continue the discussion. We've got some great topics still to tackle, so ladies, stay with me, and we'll be back on in just a moment. You're listening to BBC Radio London. Clara Hermit here for Joe Gooden. You join us right slap bang in the middle of Chewing the Fat. I'm joined by Erica Storm, who is a yoga teacher, women's empowerment coach, writer and speaker. And she's got a new TV programme that's out on Monday, the 10th of April, at 10 p.m. on Five Star. It's part of the Adults Only series, and her episode is called An Orgasm a Day. And we're joined by Stephanie Brooks, who is a restaurant reviewer, writer and presenter. She has previously written a monthly column for Essence magazine, exploring in London's restaurant scene, as well as writing for the Mail Online and the Evening Standard. And she's just wrapped filming a TV show as well. All of these incredible women joining me on the show. Ladies, we've had a good half an hour so far, and we're back for another half an hour. So should we jump straight into things and talk about the topics at hand? So Erica, let's go back to you. What else have you got for us?
Okay, so I don't know if it's because I'm now turned 39, but I just feel like when we're out with friends,
yeah,
I just don't need you to take 20 minutes taking pictures of my food before we can eat.
Right. Is it food? Is it food specifically that people are taking pictures of that annoys you, or is it anything?
Do you know what? I think I mentioned food is because when food comes, you just want to eat it, right? Because usually I'm really hungry. And the fact that you have to then sit back, and I've done it myself with my boyfriend, like, no, wait, let me fix the plate, let me fix the knife and fork. And I'm just like, what am I doing? This is absolutely ridiculous. And then you go out and then you see all these people just on their phones, capturing the moment, but they're not actually in the moment. And I think this is probably because, you know, as I said, I'm going on my own journey, and yoga really teaches you how to be present. And now that I've become more present, not just within my body, but with everything that I'm doing, I want other people to be present with me. And I just feel that us having our phones, I feel like it's an addiction. And we're not actually enjoying the person in front of us because we're too busy capturing the moment to share with other people that are not with you. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, I hear you. Stephanie, what do you think about this? You're laughing away there and giggling away, but you're in restaurants quite a lot, I can imagine. So you've probably seen quite a lot of stuff.
I am Erica's worst nightmare.
But it's your job.
You would be in a restaurant and you would be very within your right. Erica, you would hate me. I go to a restaurant, and because I'm there more often than not to review it, my friends all hate me. My husband despises me. I literally am taking pictures. I'm also doing video because I've started getting into TikTok. And I take so much footage. It's the equivalent of like B-roll footage. I take a huge amount of photos and videos. So I've got all my bases covered. I'm going to take photos of the toilet. So I am the worst person in the universe to eat with. So I am so sorry. But I agree with you, Erica, because I feel sorry for the chefs because, of course, they're beautiful food. For example, if it's a pasta dish, within 5 minutes, it's going to congeal. So you need to eat it hot. So I ruined probably 1,000 dishes because I'm so busy getting the angles and putting the light on it and doing my hair if I'm doing a selfie. But I totally understand. And what I've started doing now, I am probably getting a little bit better. What I will do is I'll say to a friend, I'm going to do 3 minutes and I'll try and get my photos in as quickly as possible. I've definitely gotten better over the years. And then I'm going to be present with you because it is annoying. So I was laughing, Erica, because I was just imagining me and you having a lovely lunch and you storming out and going, look at her. She's just taking pictures for half an hour, ruining the meal.
But Stephanie, what I really love is that you tell the person, this is what I'm doing. And it's for work. So yeah. I really understand that. Plus, my meal will be for free. So please, still reach out to me. I'll be happy to come with you.
That would be nice. It's a date, Erica. We'll there have
you go.
To do that.
Love
fantastic.
It. I could just let us know how you get on, basically, you know, and Erica, whether Stephanie sticks to her 3 minute rule there as well. You have the timer, get the timer out, have a little look, tap on the table. I think though, it's one of those things, isn't it? With food, I do like to take a picture of it, but I don't really care to make it perfect, if that makes sense. I'll just be like, oh, this is quite nice. I'm not, you know, I create content and stuff as well, but I'm not a perfectionist. So it doesn't, I want it to look good, but I'm not really that fussed about it. But I am a real foodie. So what wins out is my desire to eat the food rather. I'll be like, oh, I'm done. That's enough now. And I tend to always put my phone away. The only time I ever have my phone out on the table is if someone else does and they're on their phone. It makes me think about my phone, but I prefer to put my phone in my bag, leave it in my bag. But when Mel mentioned this topic to me, I noticed something about myself, and I just went on a solo trip on my own to Mexico and Costa Rica. And yes,
amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible. And I yes, I film stuff for content, but what I have noticed is that I also film stuff because I lost both my mum and my sister. My mum died when I was a kid, and my sister died when I was 28. Of my friends, my family, I try and get video footage and pictures and etc. because I don't have enough of my mum and my sister, and I don't have video of them, so I can't hear their voices. For me, I think I was thinking about this the other day, and I think there is something where it's like I have this desire to make sure that I capture these things in case something happens. So there is that for me, but that's not the people in the restaurant taking pictures of food and, you know, standing on their heads and getting someone to take like 50 million pictures of them. None of them are good enough. Let's do it again. It's not that.
I think it's about balance, isn't it? Because the whole point of us having these amazing technology devices is for beautiful things, like you said, to have memories. But I feel that without the balance, it takes over the experience. And I love what you said about not needing to be perfect, because I know it might sound like I'm contradicting myself now, but because of my self-healing journey of healing my room, I share my food with my followers. And I remember this was literally yesterday, and I was chopping up the watermelon and it didn't look perfect. And I went to go to check to, like, you know, make sure all the pieces were the same. And I was like, what am I doing? It doesn't need to be perfect. Nature isn't perfect. Mm-hmm. Right? It's imperfect. And that's what makes it so beautiful. And I think that's where people are going wrong. They're spending so much time trying to make something look so perfect that it takes away your time with other people. You know, how many different angles do you need to take of this pasta? Just take a picture and let's carry on with dinner, right? It's because you're so focused on it to look perfect.
And Stephanie, that wasn't personally at you, just so you know.
No, don't worry. I have to learn that because I am a nightmare. I have to get over that obsessive because I'm the same because I will take, 25 photos of one dish and then I'll edit them. And then I'll put them on Instagram and then it stupidly quickly delete them. All the colour doesn't match the next one and it's really grainy or light was on the wrong angle or there's reflection from the plate. So I become obsessed and then I end up not posting at all because I get so stressed it doesn't look perfect. And that's something I have to get over because I have so much content that should be out, but because I'm obsessed with the right filter, it doesn't go out, which is ridiculous, isn't it? It's so stupid. I'm so aware I need to change my Instagram and social media habits and taking photos because, again, everyone wants that perfect photo, don't they? I mean, you see influencers take photos for could be hours in front of one specific restaurant just to get that perfect moment, which doesn't exist, does it?
It doesn't.
It doesn't exist.
And also the editing and stuff. I just can't be bothered. So I know. I do create quite a lot of content and it goes up as it is. That's just the way I do things. I don't use filters. I don't do any of that. If it's, you know, it just is what it is. And that's how it goes up. And it, you know, I think a lot of times people appreciate the authenticity, you know, some of my content that does the best is I've just got out the shower and I've suddenly had this thought that I want to share with people. And I've got, you know, there's no makeup on my face. There's, you know, maybe the background's a bit messy or untidy. I haven't put the blanket straight or whatever it is. People don't care. They're listening to what you're saying or, you know, what you're writing. So I think that, you know, we do live in this society where we have this pressure on ourselves for everything to be perfect. But actually, what's the point of you, Stephanie? You've got all of that incredible stuff and no one gets to see it.
Exactly. And funny enough, the content that I relate to the most is the authentic, you know, the things where everything's a bit scrappy or they're making something in the kitchen when they've broken the egg and it's not perfect. So I don't know why I put that same standards on my own content when all the content I like and all the followers, the influencers I follow all have that more. This is me in the morning making my, you know, my breakfast bowl. So it's weird, isn't it? It's the standard you put on yourself. Again, which don't exist because no one cares what filter I use on which, you know, bowl of pasta. So
it's also that there's also sometimes some fear, isn't it? That the fear of, you know, what other people might think or all of that kind of stuff goes into it that can stop us from doing things that we really want to do. And I think sometimes the thing you have to just do is start. You just have to start and you just have to keep going. And that's that. And someone once said to me, and this was years and years and years ago, if only I'd taken the advice at the time, is, you know, and this was someone who years ago was posting regular, consistent YouTube content and built a career off of that. But their advice to me was that even if it's not that good, just make sure you post. Like, even if you have something that's not that good, just make sure that you're posting consistently. Some of them will be really good. Some of them won't be as good. And that's absolutely okay. But it's the consistency that really matters. And I think there's some real, real truth in that. And sometimes the things that you think aren't very good, someone else thinks are amazing. There you go.
True. That is true. I've got to take that advice because it's very good advice. That is good advice. That's advice I want to hear, definitely.
Erica, would you go to a restaurant if you had to like leave your phone at the door? Because I don't want to sound like I'm name dropping here. I'm not, and this is nothing to do with me. I have a friend who's an incredible comedian who lives out in LA. And because of her connections, when I was in LA last year, I got to go to one of Dave Chappelle's parties. And what happens is when you go to his party, there's this bag, you put your phone in there and they take you keep your phone, but it's locked in this bag. So you can't get it out. So you can't use your phone. So for every single person in that party, I don't know if Dave had his phone, maybe, but every single other person in that party, they don't have a mobile phone. So it's no one's got a mobile phone. So people interact with each other. They talk to each other. They're paying attention to what's going on. They're listening to the music. They're dancing. There's no pictures
Sounds
being
like
taken.
A vibe.
Yeah, there's no pictures being taken. There's none of that happening because you can't do it because the phones aren't there. Would you go to like a club like that? Would you go to a restaurant like that where you just had to, your phones got locked away?
Yeah, I've been to places like that. You know, as a, I used to work as a professional dominatrix. And, you know, when I had to go over to parties or events, that's exactly what we did. We put our phones away. You're not allowed to take any pictures in the event. When you go to yoga classes, you can't take your phone into yoga classes. So I'm very used to that sort of setup. Mm. But I think that it should become our norm.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, right? Because we need the help. Let's be honest. We need the help. You know, so, but you know what place I did go to? I went to meet a friend at Soho House. And I don't know if either of you are members or you've been there. You're not allowed to use your phone. So I've gone, you know, I'm walking through the restaurant. I'm like 5'11" without any heels. I was wearing my heels that day. So there I am walking through and I'm calling my friend to be like, oh, Bez, I'm here. Where are you? And I see this woman from the other side charge over to me. Madam, madam, madam. No, 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 no. No phones, no phones. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Because it's signs to say that you can't have your phone, right? But I really enjoyed that meal with my friend because there was no one taking pictures. He wasn't taking pictures. I was fully present. He was fully present. And we was able to really have an amazing experience. So, yeah, I'm totally down for going out to restaurants and putting your phone away. Let's all do it.
Let's all do it. Someone, if you're listening, maybe restaurants should just do that like one night of the week because it'd be a good way to have a break, a digital detox, wouldn't it? For a lot of us, that can be quite hard to do. Stephanie, you must know some people with restaurants. Do you reckon you could persuade any of them to do that?
Oh, gosh. Well, actually, some probably would, but the food influencers, there'd be a lot of lost-looking people looking around, playing with their fingers, not knowing what to do. The thing is now, a lot of the restaurants are particularly welcome publicity. I know they do sections of the restaurant where influencers can pose with drinks, which I suppose takes a little bit of the burden off. But again, a lot of the restaurants really embrace it because they get so much publicity. I mean, if, for example, you've had, I don't know, the It's actor or actress go to your restaurant, your brand new opening, and they're spotted enjoying your signature dish. Oh my God, you'll have bookings for weeks, for months, for years. Mm. And for example, I mean, I know a lot of the big celebrity restaurants such as Sketch, but you know, you have Taylor Swift go there. And of course there are people, you know, are lining up around the corner wanting to go to these particular restaurants. I mean, back in the day, it was a few years now when the Chiltern Firehouse opened.
I remember that,
Everybody wanted to go. But the thing with that, most people weren't really posting photos at the time. But, you know, restaurants and pictures go hand in hand. So it's interesting. That'd be quite a good article to see how restaurateurs feel about that, because I think a lot of them hate it, but some really do embrace photos because it's free publicity, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like now people pick restaurants or clubs that have good places to take photos. It's like, oh, I'm going to go to this restaurant because I love... Is that you?
It's me. It's me. I might do that. It's got a nice flower wall. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the flower wall.
Not me. I've never done that.
Absolutely crazy. It looks crazy sometimes. Like, I went to a restaurant the other day with my cousin, and I turned to the left, and there were like a queue of women waiting to take pictures by this flower wall. Mm. It was just insane. I never actually seen them sit down and enjoy their meal. And I'm just wondering, Stephanie, if you would write an article about your experience of just eating the food, not having your phone, just, you know, being in that moment, receiving the food and being able to really look at the food and take it in. Because I would imagine if you don't have your phone, you would really start to look at your meal differently because you would want to remember the textures. You'd want to remember the colors and to see if perhaps maybe the meal tasted any better than it did when you had your phone.
I love that idea because I can't remember a meal going out to a restaurant where I didn't have my phone, when I didn't even, you know, sneak a little picture. I don't think I've had a meal at a restaurant without my phone in like, I don't know, 15 years. So actually,
wow.
No, I'm sorry, Erica, you're appalled at me.
Well, it's a shock.
I am going to try it.
Breaking news. And also, I guess that way, the first time you see the food or look at the food isn't through a phone screen, is it? It's kind of actually in real life if you do it Erica's way. Right, we've got a little bit more time. And Stephanie, I know you've got another topic for us. So thanks for being so willing to talk about that. That was a brilliant conversation. What's your topic and our final one for the Chewing the Fat this evening?
Yeah, it's basically now with the, as we're entering spring, which is so exciting, and obviously with the weather making everybody feel so much better, I was thinking about how many people truly think about moving to sunnier climes, because I've been the hands have been raised, because I've noticed that, obviously, as everyone does, when the blue sky is out, as it was yesterday, I mean, I literally went and sat outside in the pub garden. It was freezing cold. I had to have gloves on. But because it was blue sky and there was a little slither of sunlight, I felt so happy and I just felt so content. And I'm realizing now as well, with all our different work-life situations, more and more people are remote workers. Mm-hmm. And so you hear of people having the digital nomad lifestyle, which sounds incredible. And if I was 10 years younger, I might even consider it. So it got me thinking, why are so many people sort of complaining about the weather and sad about, you know, our dreadful climate, really, when we can actually go off and explore? I mean, would you ever make that leap? Because I know weather is one of these things whereby, I don't know about you, but when I was young, it didn't really bother me either way. If it was a bad day, I didn't really care because I was going to see my friends. And it was just something that old people, like I am now, would moan about all the time. Now I am older, it affects me way more than it used to.
Yeah.
You know, significantly, I can have...
Oh, it's just, well, your sound's gone a bit funny, Stephanie. Can't
hear you. Has it got a little strange? Okay now?
No.
Oh, no.
No, that's better.
Oh, you're back.
Oh, I'm back now. Yes, I can go through these funny little depressive episodes, which are totally based on the weather. It's all weather dependent. And now that the weather's better, I just feel like a different person. So is that something you would ever consider, going to a sunnier climate for a better sort of lifestyle and better mental well-being?
Erica, your hand
every
went
day,
straight up.
Stephanie.
Look. Where, Erica, where would you go?
Every day.
You said you're going to Dominican Republic for 7 weeks, which is incredible. That's kind of, I guess, what we're talking about, isn't it? This idea that you can go and work somewhere else. You've got a skill that you can pick up and you can go and do anywhere. But you did shoot your hand up, like me. You shot your hand up pretty fast when Stephanie said that. Where would you move to, and what would be your reasoning?
Right. I don't know where I would move to yet, because I really want to travel the world first to see where I would prefer. I love water. I'm a Pisces. So anywhere that there's beautiful water, beaches, I'm for. Some place that is warm, that has fresh food. You know, I just want to be able to just wake up and walk with no shoes on and pick fruit off the tree, you know? And just like you, Stephanie, I'm really impacted by the weather, and I know so many other people are too, and it's a real thing. So that is why, that was part of the reason why I have the life that I have now, because I wanted to create a lifestyle that allowed me to travel. And I was actually supposed to go to Dominican Republic for 3 months.
Wow.
But I changed my ticket for 7 weeks because I have a boyfriend. I didn't want to leave him for so long. I don't know where I would live, but as long as it's warm and the people are friendly and I can grow my own food freely and I'm near an ocean, I'm game.
Yeah, sounds fabulous. You're selling it to me right now. And look, I'm just going to back up exactly what you've said. It's the same for me, but to the point where as it started to get to winter, I was kind of, you know, speaking to my best friend and I was like, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm doing with my, you know, there seems to be this, and I didn't even think about it, but she said to me, you know, we have this conversation at this time of year, every year with you, it's every year. As soon as it gets dark and cold and I would say miserable. And Stephanie, I'll just, you know, kind of back up what you've said. The older I get, the more impact it has on me. And I feel like even if, you know, I just said that I went on that holiday, which was for a couple of weeks, but I feel like I have to be able to have some breakup of the kind of cold and the grey, because otherwise I just, it really, 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 really impacts my emotions. I think that there's a lot of us that feel like that. And when the rest of the world, or the rest of the world, should I say, there's a lot of stuff going on in the country that's, I guess, as a society, we're all feeling the pressure. We're all feeling kind of extra stress. It makes the sunshine even more appealing, and that little relief that it brings, even more of an uplift, I think, doesn't it? So, yeah, I would, if I was going to move anywhere, I'd move to St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I've already decided. So,
that sounds so glamorous and gorgeous.
It does. It does.
And I'll be there for my 40th birthday, so I just might not come back. So watch this space.
I know people that have done that.
Guys,
just left and not come back.
There you go. It might happen. Look, it's been so lovely to talk to both of you on the show this evening. Honestly, it's been incredible. I've really, really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks to both of you for being so open, so honest, for your incredible input. And best of luck with both of your respective shows as well. Huge congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I've loved it. Thank you for such a special hour. Thank you.
It's been incredible, guys. Take care. Lots of love. Bye. Bye. That was the incredible Erica Storm and Stephanie Brooke as well, joining us on the show there for Chewing the Fat. I hope that you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Honestly, I feel like we could have gone on for another few hours, if I'm being quite honest. But, you know, we've got other things to do on the show. So I have to let the lovely Erica Storm and Stephanie Brooks go. And of course, you can watch their respective TV shows. Stephanie's doesn't have a release date yet, but it will be out. It's all about London's restaurants. It features Jonathan Fang and Tom Parker Bowles. And of course, Erica Storm's show is out on Five Star at 10 p.m. on Monday, the 8th of April. So do look out for those.